The sermon reflects on all three of these passages, but to start, I read from Matthew 1, verses 20 and 21 again. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The explanation of the second article of the Creed, which Martin Luther wrote and put in his small catechism, which we use to this day, it's a very interesting part of his explanation. For when we look at that portion, what does this mean, and that paragraph there, maybe you've realized it before, maybe you haven't noticed it, but that is all one sentence. The entire paragraph is one sentence. And that's the way Martin Luther wrote it, one long sentence. When we look at that, we look carefully at that long paragraph, we see that it actually has a very short, simple sentence that is the root, the foundation of that whole paragraph. And that is, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord. That's the main part of that whole paragraph, that great big long sentence. I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Now then you'll see all kinds of paraphrases and paragraphs and descriptions and things in there that talks about who Jesus is. He's true God and true man. And then, how is he my Lord? And that is critical for us to understand what Christmas is about, that Jesus is Lord and what he's done for us. I haven't read it anywhere specifically that Luther was thinking of the passage out of 1 Corinthians, but it seems likely. When Paul says, no one can say, except by the Holy Spirit, that Jesus is Lord. And that little confession, Jesus is Lord, is often considered to be the first kind of formal confession of the Christians. And Paul says it, Jesus is Lord. And that is the root of what Luther put in this explanation. I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord. How is then Jesus Lord? And a good portion of that paragraph talks about that. He uses really three main verbs there. He has redeemed me, purchased, and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, no, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. Last week we talked about and thought about how God the Father wanted to save his family, his children, Adam and Eve, and all that were born from them, and to protect them from Satan, protect them from death, to pull them back. Well, how did God the Father do that? By sending his Son. And his Son did not achieve that with gold or silver, but with his suffering and death, his holy, precious blood. There's many Bible passages that talk about the coming Savior and what he would do in the Old Testament. And so I picked out these two, just a short one, short passage from Genesis 3, and also a significant passage from Isaiah 52. But in Genesis 3, we see that what God wanted to do and would accomplish through Abraham's offspring, the ones who would come from Abraham, was not just for Abraham's offspring, but it was for all of humankind, all humans. For he says, that in you all, and interesting, the families, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God chose Abraham and his line, his descendants, from which that one male seed, male offspring, all the way back from Eve, would follow, and then through Abraham and through his descendants, all the families would be saved. It's a universal salvation that God wants to give. Whoever believes will be saved. He wants all to believe. Not all do, but it's meant for all. The Isaiah 52 passage, those verses that I read, is from our larger portion. It's often called one of the servant songs. And it begins in Isaiah 52:15 and goes longer than what I read up to Isaiah 53:12. But I just chose out that part to read for tonight. And you may have noticed as we read through that, that oftentimes we hear that in Lent or Holy Week or even Good Friday. But when we think of what the angel said to Joseph in the dream, the Matthew passage that we just read, "You shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The fundamental thing about this baby, Joseph, the angel is telling him, is he's going to save his people from their sins. His name even indicates that. And that certainly flows out of that prophecy from Isaiah 52. Just considering Isaiah 52 and 53, verses 4, 5, and 6. Jesus, the prophet Isaiah says, has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgression, crushed for our iniquities. And upon Jesus was a chastisement, and that means punishment, that brought us peace. And the Lord, God, Yahweh, laid on him the iniquity of us all. This prophecy, this part of the prophecy is so sure and certain that it's, did you notice, it's in the past tense. Not future tense, but the past tense. Isaiah the prophet is saying, this one to be born, this one who is coming, who's going to do that, who's going to fulfill what was promised to Adam and Eve, that the Satan's head would be crushed. This one, it's so certain, he speaks of it as it's already done. The promise is certain and sure. He has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. And also the prophet used that we, us, all. He includes himself in what this promised Messiah would do. This work is the promised work of the Son of God. This dying and rising again is not what the Father did, is not what the Holy Spirit did, it's what God the Son did, his specific work. That baby to be born to Mary and Joseph, this was his task. And Mary and Joseph knew it from the beginning. And they were good, faithful people of the covenant, Israelites, Jews, who knew the prophecies from Isaiah, the promises to King David, the promises to Abraham. When the angel said, "This is the one, this is your baby, this is what he will do," it's very significant to them. Huh, he's come. Then just a few things to think about from those angels' words in the dream to Joseph. "But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he, and it's interesting, there's an emphasis that doesn't come through in many of the English translations. For he himself, it's going to be Jesus, this one, he himself will save his people from their sins. That name Jesus, it's related to the name Joshua, actually. And as we heard in the program from the Women of Zion and the meal and the program that was presented, that name Jesus means the Lord saves. The Lord is salvation. Yahweh is salvation. His very name meant the Lord, Yahweh of the Old Testament, saves. So wrapped in that whole name of Jesus, which both Mary and Joseph heard they were supposed to give the baby, means that he is going to do all these things. And thus, in my mind, I was thinking, it's right and appropriate that we also remember Isaiah 52 and 53, the suffering servant, because that's what this baby is all about when he grows up. One other thing there. When the angel said to Joseph in the dream, he shall save his people from their sins, that word there, and I've mentioned it in one sermon and a couple times in Bible class, that Greek word there, sozo, he shall save his people from their sins. And Jesus said in several times throughout the Gospels, when he healed somebody, he said, your faith has saved you. Sometimes, however, it's translated, your faith has healed you. Your faith has made you well. But that word there is always sozo. And do you see what's happening there? The angel told Joseph he is going to save his people from their sins. And then as Jesus grows up and during his ministry, people have faith in them, in him, and they're saved. Exactly what the angel said. The exact words the angel said, Jesus does as a grown man in his ministry. When we think of the baby Jesus being born of Mary and prepare to celebrate that and sing about it, it's good to know always, why is this baby being born? What is he going to do? He is going to fulfill what was promised to Eve. He is going to fulfill what was promised to Abraham, that all the families of the world would be blessed. He is going to fulfill what Isaiah the prophet said, that he would suffer, die, and rise again. That is what this baby is about. It is about our salvation. Jesus calls us to look to him, to be comforted and made whole by him, because he is the Savior. He is our focus. The Father has given him to us. And as we'll think about next week, the Holy Spirit puts faith in us to know that Jesus is the one and to be certain about it. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for sending us your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to not be distracted or dissuaded or discouraged about anything in this life or what Christmas is or what Christmas is not all around us, but to know that Christmas is about your Son being born of the Virgin Mary, to be our Lord, to save us. And we ask you to encourage us with this good news. Encourage us with these words that the angel gave to Joseph, so that we may know and we may be certain we are in your family, for you have saved us in Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We sing the hymn, Come Thou Precious Ransom Come, 350.